4bc.com.au.
Brace yourselves.
Basket of deplorables.
Smithy's deplorables are here.
Deplorables.
And they won't be silenced.
Yes, it is time for Smithy's deplorables, and it's a Tuesday, which means we're joined by Paul Murray from Sky News. I think he's a Tigers man too. G'day, Paul.
I am. I'm deeply, deeply depressed, but it's not just my weight. It is the Tigers. So much more. And I got to say, interesting when you talk about same-sex marriage, that poll that was paid for by the marriage equality people, the question had a bit of a push poll in it, but it is interesting to note, and I think this is what they were trying to achieve with the poll, they deliberately chose three or four seats that have openly gay Liberal MPs in them as well. So don't be surprised if there was a bit of skewing going in that poll. But
What's your stance on same-sex marriage, Paul? Do you just think that we should have a plebiscite and get on with running the country and looking at some more important issues? Because this is just going on and on and on. Why can't we just have the plebiscite and get on with business?
100%. Well, there's one person who is stopping same-sex marriage in Australia, and it is Bill Shorten. And we would have had it by now. I think that it would have passed. It would have passed pretty bloody easily. I'm very pro same-sex marriage. But, you know, I'm also a believer that, you know, why not rewrite the whole thing and have civil partnerships? So the only people who actually have sort of formalised marriages are those who go through churches and those that don't believe in God. Well, they can have civil partnerships. But as a big issue, look, it's got to be done. It's got to be done quickly. But also, the people who want to oppose should have the right to oppose. But the truth is that the mafia that has infected parts of the same-sex marriage movement, they don't want anyone to be able to mount a no case. And I'm sorry, I live in a country where even if you're going to lose the fight, you're allowed to say no.
Yeah, I think it's 2017. Put it to a vote. See what people think. Let's just get on with it. All right, Paul, 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act is the big talking point today. The changes we'll see, well, the proposed changes anyway, we'll see words insult and offend replaced with harass, but humiliate and intimidate remain. Do you think this is a good compromise?
Oh, yeah, sort of. Look, it's better than nothing, I'll be honest, but it's hardly the great sweeping broom that it needs. I like the idea that there'll be more personal responsibility of the boss of the Human Rights Commission to decide if something does go through to the next level. The problem is, as we've seen, if you put idiots like Gillian Triggs into that position, well, you're going to get way too many complaints that move through the system. In my view, the bigger issue here was that I would have shut the whole show down and started from scratch. But you've got to do something to pull the head in of this organisation, and you've got to have far more accountability. So on balance, fine, I agree, but they don't get a gold star. They get probably, I don't know, like an ink puppy.
I think it'll definitely boost the approval rating of Malcolm Turnbull, because would you consider this a win for the government?
Well, see, I don't think it is going to affect his approval rating, because in the Senate, this thing is dead on arrival, because Xenophon has said, and with his three senators and with no Family First senator, the numbers changed that only three, not four, is needed to kill anything off. And Xenophon has openly said, not interested, because in South Australia, it's a bit of a lefty state, as we all know, but it's also a bit of a lovey state as well. So they don't see this as the issue that we know it to be in places like New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland. So the problem is, you know, yes, there'll be a little sugar hit of people saying, yeah, good on him, you know, at least he's having the fight. But because he won't be able to deliver the change that's necessary, I can't see it affecting that bottom line. And look, you know, I'm glad to see a more decisive Malcolm Turnbull. I'm glad to see a Malcolm Turnbull that's doing stuff. But, I can't see it giving him anything but a dead cat bounce.
All right. Well, I told the story just before the news. I was broken down on the M1 yesterday waiting for the NRMA to help me change a tyre. And I was listening to Chris Smith and the outrage from the listeners about the Kokoda track replacing the word mateship with friendship. Now, this is an issue that Smithy's going to continue on. And I think a lot of people want this changed. And he heard from a number of ministers yesterday. Thankfully, Josh Frydenberg, Julie Bishop and Dan Tehan have all promised to reverse the changes. But how the hell did this happen in the first place, Paul?
Well, this is the problem. This is like safe schools. This is like all of this garbage that moves through the bureaucracy, is that if you said no to this at any point during the administrative process, you would be hounded out as being a bully, a sexist, insert all of the, you know, the shopping list of abusive terms that they throw at people. And this is the problem we have, is that this is the decision itself is a bloody disgrace. But the process that keeps serving this stuff up is the problem. It is the swamp that needs to be drained. It is the stuff that needs to be tackled and packed. Now, look, with two things about this issue, and I completely agree with Smithy and his listeners in blowing up about this. Sheilas can be mates too, right? Hmm. Mates is not a gendered term. Effectively, I'm sorry to break this, you know, to the mean-faced, short-haired brigade, but I'm just going to point this out. It was blokes who died on the Kokoda track.
Yep.
It was blokes who fought back the Japanese. It was blokes who worked with the Fuzzy-Wuzzy Angels and turned this joint around and were able to help save that country and, by extension, ours. And I'm sorry if this offends some people. Well, actually, no, I'm not sorry if it offends anyone, because it's the truth. You can't change history, and the word mateship, well, if you want to think it's just about blokes, well, you're a moron. Sheilas can be mates too, but the historical fact is that it was men who served there.
And, Paul, you only had to listen to the program yesterday, and you heard the calls from people who were in tears. That's right, in tears, to know how wrong it is. And then we have a government spokesperson trying to shift the blame to the PNG government, which is just crap. When Australian taxpayers' money is being spent, it has to be approved by our government. So it's no good blaming PNG. You've got to blame your own backyard. And how the Australian government allowed this is absolutely disgraceful.
Well, what I find amazing is that we have conversations in this country that there are issues of, you know, 200, 250 years ago that are so massive that they must be dealt with, that they can only ever slowly be dealt with, and sensitivities, and all of these are the reasons why you can't make big changes. But the people who lived through World War II, a couple of generations ago, right? Hmm. These are the people who now see Japan as a trading partner, who now, as they are in the final years of their life, are seeing the things that literally was one of the most defining things in their life. I mean, there is nothing more serious than going to war, either choosing or conscripted to go to war for your country. Hmm. And to see when your mates, when your family members, when people you knew and loved died there, for someone to fiddle with the meaning of what that is, is really insulting. And I think the fact that it happens while people are still alive is a sign of the sickness and about how we have taken the greatest generation for granted, and how these things should be so sacred that even when, you know, the feminazi brigade or the lefty brigade or the people who want to rewrite history, that these people must hit a brick wall. And that's why you have government sitting on top of everything. That's why you have to have a scenario where if there is a minister who is responsible for the department, who is responsible for the bureaucrat, then the minister immediately overrides and crushes the stupidity of the bureaucrat.
Well, that's the other problem, Paul. I mean, this apparently falls under the departments of Environment and Foreign Affairs. Why the hell wouldn't it be under Veterans Affairs? Can someone explain that to me?
Well, this is it. The thing is, it's probably some overlap of a national park, rah, rah, rah. But here's the thing. Even if it was in the purview of the telecommunications minister, right? As bizarre as that would be, the common sense should be that the second this story first appeared, the second that Miranda Devine and Chris Smith started talking about it, the second it made the paper, whoever the relevant minister was should have picked up the phone to whoever the hell they could, sent, you know, a hot blast of air down the other end, and this decision would have been changed. Yeah. The fact we are still talking about it a couple of days on shows how broken the system is. We pay politicians hundreds of thousands of dollars to manage things, to represent us. We are still in a representative democracy, Mark, and it absolutely gives me the Harry hits that these people try to hide behind everybody else when their job is to be responsible.
Yep. Couple of quick things before I let you go. Pictures have emerged of a self-portrait done by Christian Porter back in 1999. I know why you're laughing. When he was a Clio magazine bachelor. It's a stick figure, but it had to be censored due to the exaggeration of a certain body part. This is pretty embarrassing for him, but he seems to have a sense of humour about it.
See, I don't think it's embarrassing. I think it's fantastic. It was a bloke in his 20s who, when asked to draw, you know, how do you view yourself, rather than drawing some sort of wanky little sort of artistic piece with charcoal, he's decided, all right, bugger this, let's impress the lady, stick figure and potentially, you know, two-thirds of a third leg.
Giving himself a rap, so to speak.
and he was in his 20s, I mean, for goodness sake. As you know, has anyone in the history of ever, when trying to impress women, or the other way around, Sheila's impressing blokes, maybe told a little fib? Just told a little bit of fib. You remember when... No, we're not just talking about that area. Maybe it's just, I don't know, you know, Mark, in the early years, you know, there was a lovely young lady that you were focused on, and she liked the particular type of music, and you didn't like the type of music, but, oh, you were a massive fan, and you went to the concert, or you went to the movie, or you read the book. I mean, perhaps, or dare I say, Sheilas who pretend to give four-fifths of a bugger all care about rugby league. You know, I mean, please, there are still marriages today that are built on the lie of caring what your bloke's football team is.
Well, what about the bloke in Queensland? Jumps into crocodile-infested waters. Hey, he's still got the date.
Yeah, well, Darwinism is alive and well, and I back the crocodile there, I'll be honest with you.
All right, one last one. What's driving the voters away from the minor parties, away from the ALP and the Coalition? You've got a few facts and figures for us.
This is huge. This is stuff. You know, in Canberra, they want to pretend, oh, Western Australia happened, one nation, bang, dead in the water, see you later. That's all spin as they try to get control back of the debate. A central poll just came out today where people ranked their perceptions of the major political parties. 7 out of 10 say that the Liberal Party is too close to big business, but almost 7 out of 10, 68%, say that the Labor Party would promise anything to become, would promise anything to win votes. Hmm. The one thing that unifies both of them, only 3 in 10 voters describe the Liberal Party or Labor Party as trustworthy.
Wow.
Now, yesterday, news poll shows One Nation at 10%. Other independent parties, so say everything from Darren Hinch through to David Lionhelm, Nick Xenophon and all the rest, that's 9%. Hmm. 19% of the market is not Liberal, not Labor, not Greens. 19% of the market. And that is only growing because we don't trust them. We don't trust the institution, we don't trust the people, and sorry to connect it all back, but here's where we thread the needle. When government fails to do the basic and the bloody obvious, like the mateship scenario at Kokoda, slowly but surely we fail to trust them. We fail to believe that they care about what we care about. Instead, we think the Labor Party only cares about accumulating power and the Liberal Party only cares about covering its arse with the big end of town.
Yep, they're too busy looking after themselves rather than their constituents. Good on you, Paul. I look forward to seeing you on Sky News tonight. I'm a regular viewer to your program, PM Live, and I look forward to all of the discussion on the program tonight.
Thank you, brother. You're killing it on the air.
Good man. Thanks, Paul. Paul Murray from Sky News. He's a fantastic bloke, and I love the fact that he doesn't pull any punches and he tells it how it is. It's refreshing. Maybe we should get Paul Murray into politics. Vote one, Paul Murray. 131873, the number. 2GB.com, 4BC.com.au. Jim, Chris, Jane, and to those other callers online, don't go anywhere. We'll be with you in just a moment. If you'd like to have your say on anything we've discussed with Paul or the same-sex marriage debate, 131873. 20 minutes away from 1, 20 away from 12 in Queensland.